Welcome to another edition of Deep Fat Motherfucking Fried. How's everyone doing today?
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, everybody.
How you, boy?
Oh, it's a beautiful
How's
day.
How's it going, everybody?
It's a beautiful day in Deep Fat Fucking Fried
It's a beautiful day
town.
In the neighborhood.
Woo! It's a beautiful day here in Louisiana, man.
So, Paul, I hear you're a faggot.
Thanks, TJ.
Faggot Gate 2018. Yeah. For those of you breaking coverage.
Yeah, for those of you that don't follow Hideology, I recently came out of the closet. No gay fabe, no bullshit. I've been a bisexual dude my whole life. Sorry for lying to you all, but
do I have to sit next to this fucking vile monster the rest of the episode?
You do, actually. I've enjoyed all these years sitting next to you, Scotty. The sexual energy that comes off of you just makes me rock hard.
Scotty, listen. Scotty, when are you going to come out, Scotty? You're on a podcast with two bisexual
dudes. Come on, we gotta have the tri-bi.
All right, you know what, guys? I have a confession to make.
Oh shit!
I have a confession.
Oh shit!
I have a confession to make.
Here it is.
It's a confession. Dude, I'm an otherkin, and I am really a platypus.
Oh shit! That's even better.
I truly feel my heart.
That's even gayer.
That is gayer.
I'll out-gay you.
Dude, I'm always sitting on my tail, dude. It hurts.
Dude, this is the fruitiest podcast on the internet.
Hi, guys.
Hey,
welcome
guys.
To Deep Fat Fried.
I'm glad I can now openly live as a platypus. I was hit it for years. It was difficult, guys. All the times I want to... I see a pond. I want to go swimming, you know? It's like, oh, look, I want to go swimming. I could never do it.
If Paul is gay-fabing, then he's gay-fabing even to us.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I wouldn't gay-fabe about
Paul's
that.
Paul's not gay-fabing.
No, I wouldn't gay-fabe about that. You know, I'm a dirty troll, but I'm not that dirty.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't pull it up, but whatever. The Patreon.
We are
doing a special to promote more patrons. Next month on Patreon, we're going to be doing...
And what will they get, TJ?
What will they get? A lot of people have wanted to see us play Dungeons & Dragons.
Dude, I came up with the best name, and I didn't even tell you guys.
Oh, shit. Oh, drop it.
Dank Dungeons & Drunken Dragons.
Hell yeah.
Dude, am I wrong?
So we're going to be playing Dungeons & Dragons, and we're going to record it. It's going to be a big event, probably be like 5 or 6 hours.
There'll be legal
crazy
tobacco.
Amount of shit.
There'll be drinks. There'll be shots.
Yeah, we're going to be drunk. We're going to get drunker and higher.
I mean, if you roll a one... It's going to be a shot. You roll a 20, you get to choose who gets to do a shot.
It's going to be good.
Damn.
It's going to be crazy.
Those are some rules,
more details.
We're going to come up with some rules and shit. It's going to be fucking awesome.
And we're going to put it out to everyone so you guys know what you're going to get into.
Yeah,
so
we did like a little template of this in LA, guys.
Yeah,
remember?
We played a game.
We had a fucking great time. So it's going to be awesome. If you want to check that out, be sure to become a Patreon before next month, because that's just free and clear for anybody who joins either tier of the Patreon.
And by the way, you guys remember we did a live show in LA recently. That entire live show was recorded professionally, and it is going to be available soon. It's going to be coming out to the $10 patrons for free immediately, and it's also going to be going up for sale for anyone who wants to buy it, and I think like 2 or 3 weeks later, it's going to be released to the $5 patrons for free as well, so it's coming out for free for all patrons.
If you're noticing a trend, become a patron. Become a patron. Become a patron.
Become a fucking patron.
Become a patron.
So we are going to be selling that entire live show or giving it away to our patrons who are all already financially supporting us.
Or people that agree to have sex with Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, he's bisexual, so all male offers are now. So if Jude Law came on to you, Paul, you would do it?
That was never kayfabe.
So,
I have a throbbing heart
feel like,
for Jude Law.
You know what? You know what I'm saying, too, though? It's like that entire time I was having the hashtag send dicks to Paul. Paul's like, no, please don't.
See, the thing is, I'm not, like, were sending these big, veiny, triumphant right. bastards, and that ain't me. I mean, whatever. I wouldn't
you
turn
want the,
away a big, veiny
You want the
dick.
Twink Paul, dick. Okay.
Yeah. You know, I like the feminine penises, so.
Paul's, he likes antiquities. He likes the penises of, like, the Greeks, you know, in Romans. Not the grotesque large penis,
right.
the small,
Your
dignified.
Your average Joe
right.
penis,
yeah.
a dignified
you
penis.
You want an
yeah.
average...
I don't need a big moose penis hanging out there.
You don't need that.
So, I don't need none of that shit.
Yeah, and also you get Marshall Manson's live performance of
some other guy played there or something.
Paul is going to also be part of that that release
that package.
The point we're trying to drive home here is become a fucking patron. Help support this show. Look, right now we're just three guys sitting in a room. We have aspirations for this fucking show that go well beyond what you see here and now. And the more of you guys that support us, like someone came to us like, why aren't, you know, why would we support you when we can support Netflix and do all this shit? And, you know, yeah, Netflix has got a bunch more shit because they're a giant company. But you know what? The more patrons we have, the more money we have to play around with, the more crazy this show's going to get, the more fucking other shit we're going to start offering up. You know, like right now, we don't have the resources to do all the shit we want to do. But there's a lot of stuff out there that, trust me, you'd fucking love. And, yeah, become a patron.
Yep.
Become a fucking
patron. Now's the time. Get in on the ground floor.
I mean, there's already new content that's going to come to you guys that I think you'll really enjoy.
Yeah, we're going to have some stuff coming to you.
Some different things.
All kinds of stuff.
It's going to be
cool. There's like several projects in the pipelines that are coming to the patrons.
We are not resting our laurels.
No. And obviously, we had a little bit of a fucking setback with this house fire that happened, but things are finally returning to normal. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I know.
As knocking on wood.
As we say that.
Knocking on fucking wood, you know, dude.
I thought that was the DEA knocking.
So anyway, we got a show about pirates today. This is a collaborative effort. We all put some research in. It was Paul's idea. What attracted you to the idea of doing a pirate episode?
I just love some pirates.
You just love pirates.
I always have loved pirates.
I mean,
pirates.
And doing research for this show, I mean, everyone loves pirates. That's pretty much the sense I got. It's like...
And why wouldn't you?
I did a search. The first search I did was... I did the pop culture section of the show. Mm-hmm. The first search I did was pirates pop culture. Because I always do some very generalized search, and on Wikipedia, it was just endless resources and endless movies and novels and shows and things have been made about pirates. It's just... Pirates have really captured the American culture's imagination pretty much since it's existed. Even before it existed.
Oh, yeah.
Every little boy wants to be a pirate, dude. Like that, at some point in every little boy's childhood, they want to fucking sail the seven seas for plunder and booty.
Plunder and booty.
Especially the booty.
Give me that booty.
As I learned from Paul tonight, especially.
So what was your first exposure to pirates, Scotty? What was, like, if you search your childhood memory bank, what's the first time?
Doing a search, man. Okay, you know what? I've got it.
Yeah.
Peter fucking Pan, dude. Captain Hook.
So many others.
Dude,
yeah.
You know, and I actually wrote this out for you, Paul. And there's also, we can't forget, Smee.
Smee.
As well as his fat sidekick, pole polishing bilge rat, Smee.
Poor Smee.
Smee.
Maligned
little
Smee.
Always the last in line for kudos.
Poor Smee. All right, let's take a look at Smee's ass here. You know, yeah. I don't know how much of this we can get away with, so I'm going to kind of like... Oops, kill the audio on it. Visual might still trigger something, I don't know.
But, I mean, this is really the template pirate for so many people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cap'n Hook.
I mean,
hook hand.
And he's got the hook hand, which you see, it goes well beyond just him. You know, he's one of the most iconic pirates. I love this fucking Disney portrayal.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, he looks menacing and goofy at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, he's credible as a threat, but he's a fucking comedic character.
I mean, he's one of the best Disney villains they've ever come up with.
Second only to Smee.
Smee.
Humble Smee.
Dude, I love Smee's voice.
Dude, the whole time we were at Disney World, Paul, the whole time was like, dude, we gotta fucking find Smee.
Smee's the best, man. He always got tossed around. He was always just such a nice dude. He was clearly in love with Captain Hook, which... You know,
he wasn't able to buy shirts that were the correct size.
That's true. Well, Captain Hook didn't give him enough money to buy a shirt that would fit his rotund little ass, so he had to have his belly out all the time, poor Smee.
About to give him a shave.
Look at an old guy like that serving this guy, you know?
Yeah, Captain Hook doesn't like this dude.
This guy serves for Captain Hook, and his shirt seems to fit him.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
See, that's because everybody else got treated better than Smee ever got treated.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking...
I mean, that. All right, Paul. I mean, sound a bit of an apologist, but I'm a
he's joke. A Smee apologist.
So this is that's the most famous Captain Hook. They also made in 1991 a movie with Robin Williams and Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, Hook. Yeah.
Also, fond memories from childhood of that.
You know,
movie.
I don't really care for that movie, but I love Dustin Hoffman.
It's a very actually divided film. It's interesting because we're watching the scene. This is Captain Hook commits suicide.
Yeah. He's kind of a teenage girl in this. By the way, Dustin Hoffman and the guy who played Smee, what's his name? Bob Hoskins.
Yeah.
They said that they made a gentleman's agreement when they were doing this role to, like, let's play him gay. We won't say that overtly, but we're going to play them as, like, you know, a gay couple.
Like a gay couple, yeah.
And they do.
Yeah, they do.
And once you realize that, it's fucking pretty goddamn obvious.
It's definitely an over-the-top performance. Like I said, there's a split feelings about this movie. A lot of people think this movie sucks, but like this character and like these scenes.
Oh, I'm not a huge fan of this movie, but man, Dustin Hoffman as fucking Hook is totally badass in this.
I mean, this movie's got its problems, but I can't help but love it.
Yeah,
I loved it as a kid, and if I watched it right now, I'd probably laugh and smile my way through it. So yeah, there's some stupid shit in it. Like I really don't
Rufio.
Like
Rufio.
Yeah,
Rufio.
The Rufio shit is lame.
I mean, but I like kids' movies that are a little edgy. You know what I mean? And this is that's kind of what they're going for. It's like you said, they're a gay couple, but it's in a kids' movie, so it's kind of, and especially in 91.
It's not like, I mean, they're not out there French
kissing.
Yeah,
they're not overt, you know? But there's weird scenes and there's tension, and I mean, this is not the Hook you expected going into this movie. You expected to be like, he's just evil, snotty whiplash, I'm bad, that's it.
Dustin Hoffman hits that.
He strikes the same balance that they struck in the animated version without being just, he's not playing the cartoon, but it's pretty much, you know, he's pretty close to it.
Sure.
Yeah, man. He's going to kill himself, dude. It's like every fucking teenage girl.
Yeah, he gets a little emo in this scene, but
I'll fucking kill myself.
I will do it, Smee. I swear to you on the count of three.
So, I mean, so far we've seen the representation of pirates, especially, I mean, like, Captain Hook is living fucking well. And Hook, he's living real fucking large. I mean, the ship is clean. He looks immaculate. He's got a fucking crazy hairdo. You know, he's got that, you know, 17th century. He basically has that kind of stereotypical idea of what you think a pirate is.
Yeah, the inversion of the proper gentleman. That's something that we like to think that pirates like to do. Wear the powdered wig, but still be filthy, disgusting bastards.
Oh, yeah. And the next movie we have that people might be nostalgic for if they grew up around the same time we did, which I know some of our audience is a bit younger, but The Goonies. Huge movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very pirate-centric plot. Now, Paul, you're a huge fan of The Goonies.
Oh, I fucking love the movie. I've seen it many
times.
Do you
think maybe did it get you into pirates? Or
I mean, it was probably more responsible for my love of pirates than either of these other two properties were, but, you know, I was into them before that. It just made pirates cooler, you know? I love this style of movie, too. You don't see the kid adventure movie.
Well,
much
I think
anymore.
There's like a
there's
lot
like
of,
a resurgence. I
yeah,
guess.
Like Super 8 kind of did a resurgence of it, and Stranger Things, of course, has been huge.
But that used to be a pretty
formula.
Common thing in the 80s.
Yeah, like
and
Stand
I
by
think
Me,
Stand by Me, and Explorers and Monster Squad.
In the 80s and 90s, they really liked the movies where like kids would go on adventures by themselves.
Oh, yeah.
There's no adults. It's kind of like it's like almost like a kid fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that one where those kids built the fucking? This is kind of off topic, but they built like a.
Like a spaceship out of garbage cans.
Like
Explorers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Out of garbage cans and shit.
We watched one of the movies, The Wizard. You know,
The Wizard. You know, there were just these kid adventure movies were a big thing, especially in the 80s, and I have a real nostalgia for them, and The Goonies is the best of them all.
I mean, it's like the prototype. I don't know if it was the first, but it's like the prototype.
I mean, directed by Steven Spielberg, you know.
Yep. It combines what at the time was like a modern sensibility with the pirate mythology and shit, and it blended it so seamlessly.
Well, so many iconic moments from that movie, you know, like the truffle shuffle.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's like, I asked like a lot of people who went on to be famous. I think Josh Brolin is in the movie.
Yep.
Who just recently played Thanos and so many other big roles. I mean,
how did the whole pirate subplot factor
yeah,
into
so
it?
Yeah, so Paul, why don't you?
So in The Goonies, these kids live in this little area in New England, and they are going to be, basically their land is being purchased and redeveloped for a golf course. And their parents don't have enough money to keep their homes. And so they're all thinking they have to move, but they find this old pirate treasure map in the attic of one of their houses, and their dad is like a historian at the local museum or something, and they decide that they're going to try and go find the pirate treasure to save their homes, and that's basically what the movie is. They get wrapped up with a crime family who's got the same designs on the pirate treasure once they learn that these kids are looking for a pirate treasure that might be buried out here somewhere. They're being pursued by these evil kind of mob goons called the Fratellis. So you've got that behind them, and in front of them, just an endless supply of weird pirate traps and shit.
Yeah, you know? Someone said Spielberg did not direct Goonies. He didn't direct. He produced it.
Oh, right, he produced it. Okay.
But whatever.
I stand corrected.
But an absolutely great movie, just really well cast. Like Scotty said, a lot of people from this movie went on to do big things. Josh Brolin is one of them. The lead character there, Mikey, I forget his fucking name. I'm brain farting on his name, but he played Samwise Gamgee in the fucking Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
Sean Astin. There you go.
Astin?
Yep, Sean Astin went on to do big things. I, of course, love Chunk. Chunk is my favorite character in this, along with his big, creepy sidekick, Sloth. I love their story.
And the treasure thing is like a major arc in a lot of these pirate stories. It's like the driving force is like treasure, riches beyond your wildest dreams.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many.
The booty, dude. You have to have the booty in the pirate
story. You almost think of a pirate treasure if someone says
the word. Well, you need the map.
You know,
of course, you have to have the
big chest and the.
Well, yeah, you have to have the pirate map, which leads you to the treasure.
And the X marks the spot kind of thing.
Yeah, and we'll cover a pirate treasure a little bit during my segment of this, but yeah, I mean it's a great movie. It's an adventure that looks like it would be fun to go on as a kid, and I love it. I've seen it so many fucking times I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, highly recommended by everyone at DFF.
But the pirate in that is called One-Eyed Willie. That's the pirate they're looking for.
Oh no, Richard Donner directed it. They have a lot of big directors.
Yep,
or people who are Spielberg is a big director. Chris Columbus did a lot of. He did the first two Harry Potter movies, but
One-Eyed Willie is the big pirate guy that, and they're actually looking for his ship,
and
which is kind of cool. And the ship is, of course, rumored to be laden with treasure, and they find it. So that's the payoff in the movie. You actually get to see the pirate treasure,
the treasure and the traps,
which is awesome.
Which of course is cool. Let's see. I for some reason don't have a clip for this, but. Scotty also pulled something for Treasure Island from 1950.
Yeah, that's weird. It's in the document.
I see it here. Let me just I'll just pull it up on YouTube. Hold on.
Piece of shit, TJ.
So, yeah, you pulled
even
the good Treasure Island.
Oh, yes, of course.
The only Treasure Island. Oh, wait, I do have that. Okay.
Never mind, I have that.
You do have it? Okay, good.
Yeah.
We're taking a look at the 1950s.
The
Treasure Island.
What is this? Is this it? Because this is the clip you gave me.
Yeah, this is it.
Okay. Let's just see. You probably get away with some volume on this.
Motherfucking Robert Newton.
John fucking Silver, dude.
Wow.
Makes me want some fish.
I mean, this movie kind of developed a lot of the modern pirate, the contemporary Potter, pirate stereotypes.
I mean, you can see it. The dude there with the sock cap.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is how people still dress here in Louisiana. So.
Oh, okay, shit.
Yeah, this does look like a Saturday night in Louisiana.
You know, the pirate with the fucking
dude, that
parrot on his shoulder.
Is fucking creepy as shit.
Yeah, but this kind of rowdy scene is what makes people love.
So of course, too. Treasure Island is famously about. We'll talk more about the novel.
Raucous and rowdy and shit.
But it's about a guy searching for treasure, you know. And you know, of course, there's a payoff to that too. I mean, but,
typical pirate trope.
But yeah, but this kind of set the precedent for that. You know what I mean?
Like the peg legs and the fucking parrot on the shoulder.
Yeah, basically, I put it as an aside, and this is about the way that they talk. You know, the pirate talk, you scallywag, you bilge rat, you know what I mean?
Avast, ye hardies.
So, Scottish author Robert Louis Stevenson's adventure, Treasure Island, was published in about 1883. In 1950, that's the one we're looking at, the popular tale was adapted for Hollywood in what was Walt Disney's first movie made with only live actors. So, this is actually the first Disney film made with live action actors exclusively.
Neat.
The movie starred Robert Newton, who you see as Long John Silver, which is a fictional pirate. He didn't really exist, you know. His performance was certainly memorable, a memorable one. This is an excerpt from a 1950...
Let's see if I can hear a little bit of it here. Say something.
You just missed it.
Yes, Mom.
I don't know what's going on.
We're searching for the booty.
Searching for that booty. What to plunder.
Yeah, that big old fucking...
By the way,
pale powder-looking pirate is creepy as fuck.
Yeah, he's like 9 feet tall, and yeah, he looks fucking like an overgrown Devin Tracy or something. I don't know.
So
yeah. Here's creepy.
So this is a review that was done in the 1950s by Times Magazine. a review of this film, offers the fun of watching an eye-rolling, lip-twitching Robert Newton as he wallows outrageously through the role of Long John Silver, one of fiction's most ingratiating scoundrels.
Yeah, and even if you look at the Pirates movies, I'm sure you pulled something about Pirates of the Caribbean and shit, too.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, he kind of did the R's and Shiver Me Timbers and...
Shiver Me Timbers,
Landlubbers.
Shiver Me Timbers, yeah. And Rotate Me Bars.
Do you guys...
influential film?
Do you guys
film?
Know, by the way, what a pirate's favorite letter is?
R.
No.
The sea be his first love.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, dude.
Get out of here, TJ. Boo.
Oh, fuck. Why am I this way?
Anyway. I don't know, dude.
Endless font of dad jokes.
If we had an explanation for that, I think we would be a lot more content being around you. Let's put it that way.
So, yeah. But the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, that was fucking crazy.
Oh yeah, man! I've now had the chance.
Oh,
to
we're
be
gonna
on
cover
multiple.
That. We're gonna cover that.
Oh yeah, we'll get to
oh,
that.
It's not. We're not there yet.
I'm trying. Right.
No.
Rush.
Right, we're actually.
I'm rushing, Scott.
We're,
like,
we're,
on,
we're getting there. We're getting
come
there.
Come on, you faggot. Let's go.
What we're actually getting to next is the franchise that most of us have come to associate with pirates. It's the most contemporary, popular portrayal of pirates. It's the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
Franchise.
Captain I wasn't Jack rushing Sparrow. Shit. It was time to talk about it.
Just
it was.
Not the ride.
Well,
DJ.
The ride comes at the end. You can't not
well,
talk
the
about the
ride. Started.
Asshole, you can't not talk about the ride.
Well, the ride's what started it all.
So the first one we have is
poorly, whatever.
And this is the best received one. It's Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
The first one is the only... I mean, like, look, the second...
2003.
The first one's the only one that's fucking worth a shit.
I mean, the second one's okay.
I mean, okay, look, the second two, the fucking part two and three are all right. They got some shit. But after that, it's total dumb.
Well, there's magic, you know? You have Captain Barbossa, you have Jack Sparrow. I mean, all this stuff is fresh. It's like watching in theaters is basically one of the best live action Disney films ever made. Everything just hit. All the characters worked.
Pacing is perfect.
I mean, all being
Johnny
based.
Johnny Depp was fucking
dude,
phenomenal.
All being based on a ride, it was a fucking. I mean, it really took you for a ride. Because we're like, when I heard about it coming out, I'm like,
yeah,
how good is this going to be?
People thought it was a fucking joke when it was announced. I mean, and then when they saw the trailer, they're like, huh, cautious optimism.
Oh, dude, the glue that holds that whole movie. Dude, Johnny Depp gets credit. He's do it, but Jeffrey Rush is Captain
Barbossa.
Oh, yeah, he's
holds
fucking,
whole fucking
amazing.
Thing. Like, one of the best villains in recent memory.
Barbossa's
just absolutely
great.
A kind of inversion of this